Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. It's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station. Shalom, shalom, man. We back again for another one. Another Shabbat. And it's going down. You already know it's always going down on the Poetic Energy Network station on the way with your whole side. Man, I'm telling you, things are steaming up very quickly, and we're just going to dive into it. So I hope you're ready. I hope you're enjoying your rest, your day of rest, and I hope you're praising Yahuwah and just getting and diving into your word and your scriptures. But we gotta get it cranking and get it going. So let's go to the throne. Father Yahuwah, in Yahushua HaMashiach name, Father, we thank you for this day, your set-apart day. We thank you for just bringing us in to the fold through Yahushua. And we just pray that we wouldn't speak our own words, that you would speak through us and to us. Father, that you would show us the spiritual atmosphere and the things taking place, Father, that we see or we may not see. And Father, please help us prepare, Father, because through your Son, for us to watch. And Father, help us learn how to watch. And we pray that this day, in this moment, we would esteem your name. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. And amen. Now, man. You already know it's been going down this week. And we're going to get right into it real quickly. Because, I mean, these are the stories right here that have been going on. We talked about the Occupy movement and what's been going on there. I have a quick story because I want to get this out of the way real quick first before we really dive into it. But, you know, they have one story out right now. You have the Palestinian, Mr. Abbas. He's saying that we will negotiate. The headline for this story is we have to negotiate with the Israelis peacefully. Abbas will war with Israel peacefully. Negotiations are part of the Palestinian culture. We are not, this is him quote, we are not able to turn back to violence. The Palestinians will not launch a war against the Israelis, it says, if the progression is not made in the peace process. This is the Palestinian President Mohammed Abbas. He said this in an interview on Channel 2 on Friday night. So they're saying, you know, but we know, we talked about before last week that, hey, you really ain't got to worry about really the Palestinians going to war with Israel. What you really got to worry about is Iran going to war with Israel. And so we talked about that. We talked about, you know, how they got nukes. You know, it's word on the street from different generals and the Russians that, hey, the Iran has some nukes already, and they're potentially you know, quote unquote, the Israelis. But, you know, that story is developing. You know, we still have the peace talks and negotiation with the UN looking at the votes and possibly being able to instate them as, you know, a statehood. You know, that have going on. So that process is coming to a close. We want to get into the real story. We want to get into the nitty gritty. The nitty gritty, as I like to call it. Man. You probably heard this week, they got the thing going on about the Pope. And I got the official story right here from the Vatican, from Vatican City. I got the story right here, the official story, and we're going to break into it right now. It says, Pope Benedict XVI on Friday thanked Jews and atheist humanists after a council with world religious leaders in Asia. It says, in a speech in which abstained from any specific mention of Islam and other religions. It says, though the pontiff thanked all distinguished representatives of the world religions, he reserves special mentions for the Jewish people, who are particularly close to us. It says, as for the four atheists who attended, it says, he made no mention of the reference of Muslims, Hinduists, Buddhists, and the other religions. It says Confucianism and African and American religions who had attended interreligious talks in the France birthplace. It says the Pope often praised special links between the Judaism and Christianity. So, you know, we like to skim through it. You know, here's a quote from there. He says, they have been willing to share the privilege with us and it's time to desire to work together to build a better world, he proclaimed. It says the Pope have been very careful to avoid moments of common prayer at Messiah. It says, and spent talks with the part of Bartholomew, the first Archbishop of Constantinople, Rabbi David Runson, representing the chief revenant of Israel. The Pope closed his message and did not lay any concrete proposal to tackle religious violence, the theme of his talks, but the spoken general is the desire for peace and justice. Now I want you to you gotta stay along right here, because this is really gonna tie all this into prophecy. Now we talked about last week. This is what we talked about last week. We talked about how the Occupy movement, you know, began in Wall Street and then, you know, kind of caught fire across the world. You know, you had first it was Libya. Then, you know, we talked about how President Obama, you know, really perpetrated it and said, look how the Libyans are standing up. You know, that's what needs to happen. And he released statements, you know, even with the Troy Davis thing, he released statements saying, hey, you know, if y'all want to do something, you need to do something about it and get to the streets and, you know, quote unquote, like that. And so this inception from the American government basically made its way and started what you would call a modern day something like a revolution. And so you have the Occupy movement going on. And what we want to play right now, because Yahuwah predicted it. Yahuwah told us couple shows ago, he showed us that, hey, this movement is basically going to usher in the beast, the first beast, the beast from the sea. That's what it's ushering in. And so these people are crying out for the beast. It looks like, oh, yeah, they doing these things, they doing this. But what they really was doing is they're pushing for the beast from the sea. And he showed us that, hey, what they're going to do is the authorities and the powers that be were going to act like, hey, this is, we need to do this. We need to get behind these people who are looking for change. They need change in the financial system. You know, you have the rich 1% owning everything, the bottom 99%, they don't have anything. So we need to get behind the people and we need to show that we are for the people. So it make them look like the government is for the people, for the 99%. And they want to reform the situation. But all that is an illusion for the beast until the end, where there will be a mark of the beast. And so Yahuwah predicted it. And it's just been amazing to look at it this week. I have had a clip. We have a clip right here. We're going to show you that, hey, Yahuwah, the spirit of Yahusha is prophecy. And he'll show us everything. And he.
The now worldwide Occupy Wall Street movement found an unlikely ally this week in the Catholic Church. MSNBC reports on Vatican City's new plan for a world economic authority.
Well, the Occupy Wall Street movement is about to have a powerful new friend who has some powerful friends above himself, that being Pope Benedict. Over the last few years, the Pope has talked about the worsening global financial crisis. And tomorrow, the Vatican will issue a statement of support of those same goals pushed by the Occupy movement. The church will call for reform, stronger regulations, and a greater focus on people over profits.
CNN reports that the Vatican's 18-page proposal focuses on three main roles a new economic order would fill.
For the first time, the Vatican has outlined what it sees as a moral fix for the problem of poverty, a proposal to create a new financial authority, including a global central bank and a new tax on global financial transactions.
Globalization has made us all in the same boat, and we're going to either sink together or we're going to prosper together.
But the thought of more regulation, especially coming from a worldwide organization, has plenty of U.S. pundits up in arms. A columnist for Time magazine writes, "Those politicians who think the Dodd-Frank law went too far in attempting to reform Wall Street will likely need smelling salts after taking a look at a proposal for reforming the global financial system that was released by the Vatican, calling into question the entire foundation of neoliberal economics and proposing one world financial order. You never know what those radicals over at the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace will come up with next." And a debate on Fox Business on Tuesday shows both sides of the argument.
Our viewers are absolutely fed up with having us in America having our money affected by the failure of European institutions. Why on earth are we dragged down by a country like Greece?
There's sustainable growth, that there's actually going to be regulations, but not too much regulation.
Okay.
Right? But we have to recognize that we are a global community, and one person's actions affects the other.
Utopian dreaming, that's my life.
No, it's reality.
According to Time magazine, the timing of this new proposal from the Vatican is meant to precede the G20 summit set for the first week of November in France. For Newsy, I'm Zach Toombs. Multiple sources, the real story.
Yo, we back. Man, you heard it first right there. You heard it first right there that, hey, what's going down is what Yahuwah told us. He told us that, hey, what will happen is the Occupy movement would, and people would begin to back it, and it would look like the Pope, and it would look like people are now backing this thing. They are for the people. But I don't know if you heard the story. We just talked about right then that, of course, you had this other event where the Pope was talking to different religious leaders and different people around the country in an interfaith movement. We already know that the whole thing about the one world religion, the Buddhists and everything. But this is where it starts to get okay. His whole speech for that was about peace. Now, I don't know if you know, but the G20 summit is coming up in November. Okay. And so we found the document, and it's called, on the 24th, it was a document called Towards Reforming the International Financial and Monetary System of a Global Public Authority. The Vatican hopes to add its two cents in the upcoming G20 summit, focusing on monetary system. Okay? Now, I don't know if you know, but, you know, the G20 summit is basically, you know, the summit of the biggest financial, you know, authorities around the world and different things like that. And you have all these people coming to, like, the European Union and all these people tying together and coming together and talking about, you know, economic issues. Now, this is where it's going to get a little bit freaky right here. But I'm going to say that for a little bit, but we're going to dive into it. Okay, right here from this article that I have, I have different quotes. He says, pose a reflection on a possible ways forward in line with the most recent social mentorism. It says that the effective and representation at a global level in which seek the authoritative human development of all individuals and peoples. The document notes that between 1900 and 2000, the earth was populated with fourfold of rapid increasing wealth has not been distributed fairly around the world, leaving a gap between the rich and the poor. It's the same thing we talked about. We talked about the statistics last week about the 99% versus the 1%. And so the Vatican directly backs the Occupy movement, just like Yahuwah told us. And so now, right now, this is another quote from here. It says, the inequalities and distortions of capitalist development have often expressed not only in economic liberalism, but also in Unitarian thinking. That is, theological and practice and practical approaches according to which was is useful for the individuals to lead a good of the community. So basically, you know, I'm gonna pick parts of this article from, you know, from the Pope, but basically his whole argument, the whole push for this comes before the G20 summit. Now this is where it gets very, you really got to look into it. Okay. The G20 summit will be the sixth meeting of the 20 heads of government series going on discussions about the what? The world economy. So the Pope releases a statement talking about, let's get a world public authority, right? Directly linked from the Occupy movement. The G20 summit was his first. The logo, even if you look at the logo and you look at behind it, it's called New World, New Ideas. New World, New Ideas. You can look this up for yourself. The 2011 G20 summit, Keynes Summit, is the same thing. So if you look at the power that be, all of a sudden the Pope rises up. First he talks about peace with all religions. Now, we know, come on now, you're talking about a Buddhist, you're talking about atheists. He's having meetings with atheists, world atheist people, humanists, basically Satanists, and he's saying, let's come together, let's have peace. Come on, man, it's not going to be, what fellowship does light have with darkness? None. So you see the powers that be now coming together and trying to join one. So you see that, he was over that. And now, so-called the French president, who's the host of the G20 summit, his main objective, even if you go back and you trace him back, even from President George Bush, and you look at his development, he's always had the mindset of a new world order. And his main objective is what? To reform the international monetary system. So what does this all mean? Like, okay, you know, the monetary system. What does this all mean? The guy's name is Nicholas. He's supposed to be the planning. He's going to give his plans and his expectations on the coming summit about, let's, you know, do this. You know, let's do this. But I want you to see it though. I want you to see this connects to prophecy. This connects to prophecy because you look in Revelations, it talked about that woman, that whore. It said that whore sat on many waters. It sat on many waters. It said over all the tongues, tribes, you know, and languages. So think about it. That woman sat on the whore. She sat on many waters. Okay, what did the Pope do? He was over all these different religions, all these different people, talking about what? Peace. Now, this is where you really have to listen. Because we have, hey, if you know some people that are still in Babylon, still in the whore, man, they have to come out of her, my people, so you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins have now reached the heaven. Like, who is about to judge Babylon? So you really want to get out of there. It's like being in the house, and there's a bomb under the house. You can't save the house. You can't save nothing in the house. These churches, they can't be saved. These church, what I mean by it, these churches, these buildings, these establishments, the Seventh-day Adventists, whatever you want to call yourself, these religions cannot be saved. You have to get up out of there because the bomb will go off. And if you still in the building when the bomb goes off, that's your fault because the horn blew and you knew. But look, this is what it said in Revelations right here. Revelation 6:2 said, I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went conquering to conquer. Now, this gets very, very interesting. This gets very, very interesting. You look at the Pope, you look at what he's beginning to do and what he's beginning to rise up and do. We look at and we break it down. Okay, the white horse. What is white? Now, I'm not saying that his mission has started or that he is the actual person, but I'm talking about the spirit that is behind him. that is driving him to do these things. That's what we're talking about. If you look in the scriptures, and white is a symbol of like peace. You know, the Roman Catholic popes usually wear white garments. His personal helicopter is white. He who sat on a white horse went to conquer and conquer. So I'm just saying, add one and two up. Okay, it should be noted also that the predominant message of Roman Catholicism is a message of what? Peace. False peace, but it's peace. It says the Vatican has, and what did he do the other day with hundreds of religious leaders and atheists and Satanists and all kinds of these other religions talking about what? Peace. No more violence and all this stuff. It says when peace is being negotiated between the Pope and other high officials of the Roman Catholic Church are many times consulted. Newspapers, magazines, books, television, radio applaud his efforts towards peace. Even Pope Paul VI was the world's first religious leader to speak before the United Nations Assembly. His message was lay down your arms, no war, never again. So you talk about the main message of the Pope is peace. So according to Revelation 6, it's talking about this rider on the white horse will go to conquer and conquer. So that means that he will go on a mission for peace. On a mission for peace, on a mission to bring people together into what? A new world order, a new system, a new thing. So, I mean, we're going to pause right now. You still listen to the Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwah Sidd, and this is The Way. Now, when you start to dive in, I'm getting hyped. I'm sorry if I'm getting hyped because this is very interesting. But look, you look at this and you say, okay, the rider on the white horse. So all this thing, Yahuwah showed us a couple weeks ago that all these things were basically pushing it to the beast, pushing it to the mark of the beast, pushing it, the Pope now standing up, these powers that be are now standing up and getting it to the beast. Now I want to read a couple of verses to you. We read this before many a times. We read this before many a times because Revelation 13 says, and I saw one of its heads having been slain to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the earth marveled after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to fight with him? So you look at these things, you talk about the beast with seven heads and ten horns. We know that the seven heads symbolically represent Rome. Rome, you look at the Vatican, you go look it up, you have time. Rome actually sits on seven hills. You talk about Revelation says, here is wisdom. You know, the woman, she sits on seven hills. We know Rome sits on seven hills. So the symbolic representation of Rome is who? The Pope. So you're talking about the Pope. He even has a golden cup described in Revelations, just like that whore. So he's a representation of the whore. So when you see him, you see the whore. You see the whore of Babylon. And so apparently, according to scripture, the whore of Babylon rides upon the beast, which is the ten kingdoms, which is represented by the United Nations. So you began to look at those things, and he just released the article. There's articles out right now talking about, hey, how about he's proposing now that the United Nations put together a one world government, a one world system, monetary system, in which there is a one banking system. Because you want to be real, financial and money things kind of rule the nation. Okay, but I'm going to finish this article right here. It says, notice that the rider on the white horse in Revelation had a bow and no arrows. He had weapons, but it says, but no shooting live ammunition. His weapons are peace, religion, and diplomacy. A crown was given given to one to sitting on a white horse. History teaches that the Pope originally had no crown, but they wear a tiara consisting of three crowns. Finally, Revelation 6:2 states that the rider on the white horse went forth to conquer and to conquer. Although Catholicism presented no standing of army, it's certainly a conquering power. Now, I'm gonna give you background and show you, hey, that they went to conquer and conquer. So what was, I remember Yahushua said in one of the works, one of his statements in one of the apocryphal works is, hey, what you'll know the end if you know the beginning. So we have to know the beginning. We have to know what did they actually do. But I want to show you, man, because this is so prophetic of how Yahuwah showed us that even a small movement like the Occupy movement has been perpetrated into bringing usher in the beast from the sea. You're talking about, it says in Revelations that all nations who are not, it says, and all those who dwell on earth whose name is in the book of life of the slain lamb of the foundation of the world shall worship the beast. Now, I want to play an interview right now. We're going to play a clip right now about how this beast system is offering up this one world global authority that is going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to, because you know Revelation 18 says, he causes all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, slave, to be given a mark upon their right hand and their foreheads. And that no one is able to buy except that he has the mark of the beast and the number of his name. So we want to talk about, we're going to play this clip right here. This is a clip from Aaron Russo, who, you know, had ties with David Rockefeller. And we want to play it and so you can get a little understanding about this banking system.
Now, since the Federal Reserve has come into being in 1913, illegally, without a constitutional amendment, by bribing a few senators during Christmas vacation, they turned over the most important power that the American government has, the creation and issuance of money, to a private bank. Through that private bank issuing money, they have destroyed this country. They have destroyed the purchasing power of the money in this country. They've created social programs that are destroying this country. They have a machine that can make all the money. It's not about money. It's about control. It's about their vision of how they want to see the world. What we want doesn't matter anymore. It's their agenda. It's their plans that matter. So the ultimate goal that these people have in mind is the goal to create a one-world government run by the banking industry, where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips, right? There'll be no more cash. And this is giving me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. And so instead of having cash, anytime you have money in your chip, they can take out whatever they want to take out whenever they want to. And you become a slave. You become a serf.
We're gonna stop it right there. We're gonna pause it right there. But you still listen to Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and this is still the way. So we're talking about right now. We're talking about what they doing this beast system. This beast system, because the beast system it's a beast system in which they want to have the control. They want to have the monetary control of money. And what can control? Think about it. What can control people the most? How the people predicament where they're almost stuck, like they can't do anything, and granted, we all have to work, we all have to earn money, you know, to in order to survive and live, and so that's where we're gonna come bark upon the time. It said all people that names are written in the book will be delivered from this time, this great tribulation that's gonna come upon the earth. You know what I'm saying? But it's gonna be so vile that they're gonna. That's why many will become martyrs, because they're going to make it so in which you have to worship the beast. You have to take their system, this global system in which the Pope right now is pushing for. You have the Occupy movement. That's what they're pushing for. So it looks like they're pushing for change, but they're really pushing for the beast. They're basically out there saying, hey, man, let's get, and that's where you got to look at it. So, I mean, this thing is very prophetic. And even if you look at it, you're talking about this woman, this whore Babylon. You look at Revelation 17:6, it says, and I saw a woman drunk with the blood of the set apart ones and the blood of the martyrs of Yahushua. And when I saw her, I wondered in greatly admiration. Man, I found an article right here that talks about in depth. It talks about the souls and the Hebrews and the set apart ones that the papacy has slain. It says, this one quote right here, it says, from the birth of the papacy in 1600, the papacy, it says in 606 to the present time, it is estimated to be carefully and credible historians that more than 50 million of human families have been slaughtered for their crime of heresy by populist persecutors. An average more than 40,000 religious murders every year, with connections to them. So I'm going to speed through a little bit more right here. You're talking about the acquisitions. You're talking about the millions, the hundreds of millions. The pauper Rome shed blood over 50 million Yahudim in Europe. Or you're talking about Nazarene. You know what I'm saying? It says in the Crusades. In the Crusades from 1100 to the Inquisition in 1231, even the Protestant Reformation, 1517, you're talking about millions, hundreds of millions of people were killed by this authority that went conquer to conquer. See, to them, peace is not really peace. Peace is, to them, death. So we know the scriptures in Thessalonians say, hey, when they hear you hear peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes. So they're talking about peace. This rider on the white horse will talk about peace. He will go to conquer and conquer, talking about peace and talking about this one world global system, which is the beast. That's what it is. So we're going to keep you abreast until what's going on, because this topic right here is very instrumental. Because we're living in the times of the end. Okay, so moving on. Right now, we're going to get into... There's a phenomenon going on we're talking about. I don't know if you heard about it. The thing called 11-11-11. Okay, now, you're talking about... There's a group of... I think it's 13 elders will arrive in L.A. in mainland. It says in the mainland. Says to come together in a gateway event that will highlight the performance of a Mayan crystal skull ceremony. The elders whose traditions have always been within the inner circle have been instructed to perform all their ceremonies in public from this point on. For this reason, the ceremony of the 13 crystal skulls, a ceremony that has performed 26,000 years ago, will be open to the public. So this story had, I heard about it before. I heard about the whole thing about the 11-11-11 and, what's that whole thing. But the event out in L.A. is called the Gateway. So what happens is along the ceremony gathering, to travel across the United States, just the beginning. It says they are a gateway. They say they are a gateway to a series of unprecedented live events that will bring secrets into this age I looked at one video. The guy was saying, yeah, he said the 13 crystal skulls are the way to bring peace into earth. They're always talking about peace, but Yahuwah says there is no peace for the wicked. So there is no peace for the wicked. But the whole event, it's called the Gateway Event. Now, they got a movie coming out on November. Now check this. So on 11-11-11, November 11th, 2011, the 11th day, at 11:11 p.m., they're supposed to be doing this ceremony, right? Now, the event is called the Gateway Event. Because they're saying that, hey, they can somehow, when you look at it, they can somehow open a gateway from another dimension to this earth in order to bring secrets in and be able to, you know, save the world of, you know, and, you know, all this fabricated stuff they make up. But what it really means is that they're opening a demonic gateway in order for evil to come in. Not peace, but evil. So even in the movie 11-11-11, they're talking about, it says that they believe that a gateway will open. Now, this is just some of the information that I found out, man, because you always have to have your spirit on guard for this evilness. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to dive too much into it, but you got to have your spirit ready, man, because if you ain't ready, these things like this will get you. It says, now, they believe, you know, like we said before, that according to this, that the planetary alignments will somehow align in which a portal or a gateway will open up from another dimension. We talked about that last week about, you know, you know, even in scriptures we read like Enoch and different things like that. We know that, okay, we know we live in this realm, you know, there's another realm. So we know that's true. But as far as people opening up things and, you know, doing all that stuff, that's all, you know, different talk. But these, I want to read some of these things about movies. They got another movie coming out called The Immortals. Now, we know that Hollywood is controlled by the Luciferian occultists that project their agenda through the movies in forms of numbers, imagery, symbols, and dates. For example, the movie called Immortals, right? Now, I'm going to break this down. We're going to break it down to you so you can understand. They got a movie called Immortals coming out on 11-11-11. Okay, now we're going to show you their agenda. It says, look, it says Theos, who is called, quote-unquote, some kind of redeemer, is the immortal man chosen by Zeus to lead the fight against the ruthless king, which is basically Hashitan. It says, who wants to obtain weapons to destroy humanity. It says, and Titan, who is really like a fallen Moloch, declares war on all humanity. He searches for the Emperor's bow, and legendary weapon created by a war mighty one, which is Ares or Mars. It says, which will allow him to free the rest of the Titans from Tartarus. I don't know if you know what Tartarus is. Tartarus is, it says, to take revenge on Olympus, heaven, to bring that downfall. So what you're saying, what all this means? We know in Revelations, see, they'll do things subliminally, and nobody will never know what they're talking about. We know subliminally, it talks about that a Moloch falls from the heavens and opens the pit. And who does he let out? He lets Apollyon, the destroyer, out, you know, to destroy humanity. You know what I'm saying? So these titans in this movie are like are fallen messengers who keep their form in a black box, exactly. So they act like different forms. So these things like and check this. I have from Infomorph. Even numbers, like even occult numbers in this movie is going to be found, you know, like 666. And all these things are connected. You know what I'm saying? It's like the movie number 11-11-11 coming out. Talking about it unleashes a pit. Look, it says the movie portrays the unleashing of the pit. All these demons are pictured by the Prince of Demons, Apollyon. It says that the book of Revelations 1 through 11 states will happen on earth. Is this the, okay, so you're talking about, these movies are portraying that a gateway opens up and fallen ones or demons come through. So we talked about that. We talked about before, Yahuwah has been showing us. Hey, he showed us, Yahushua showed us, he said, hey, in the days of the coming of the son of Adam, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of sons of Adam. So what was happening on the days of Noah? We know that Nephilim were on earth in those days. So we know that, hey, it's the same thing. If Yahushua said this, we know that Nephilim will be on earth in those days before the coming of Yahushua. So we're talking about that these people, these so-called Mayans, you know, that they are trying to do an event with these crystal skulls, a very demonic event called the Gateway Event, in which they're trying to channel some things and open some portals in order to, just like these movies symbolically show, is to bring demons from the pits and allow them to try to come through. You know what I'm saying? Allow these things to come through. Because you're talking about Revelation says it's true that somebody will come and open the pit. And even if you look at this movie, even if you look at movies like Thor and different movies where these things fall from the heavens, you know, and they take over and they rule the world and all this stuff. Come on, man. If you really see what's going on, you see they symbolically show people what's going on in order to put them to sleep and for order for people not to know what's going on. So you're talking about this Gateway Event. So we've been looking at that, and it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things that, you know, people have failed to look over. You know what I'm saying? So even scriptural evidence and all these different things, like so basically the whole thing about this New Age agenda, they have New Age agenda. And they're trying to, because the whole thing is, they'll say it's a new level of consciousness, you know, and all this other stuff, like with, you know, new level of consciousness and the age of, you know, I don't know if you heard the age of Aquarius, but it's really the age of evil. It's really the age of evil that we're coming upon. We know that when we seen September 29th, the seventh new moon on the first day, we seen the signs in the heavens showing that, hey, the woman was pregnant. She was about to give birth to a male child. That male child is symbolically Yahushua. That male child is symbolically Yashrael. But the dragon stood at her feet ready to persecute her. So you know what's going on now with the Pope, with these things. And we have another event that's coming up, another so-called event. You have that you have 2005 YU55 supposed to be on November 9th will be closest to the earth. You're talking about almost closer to the earth than the moon. And on the same day, NASA is doing their first worldwide bar class at 2 p.m. class of 3.5 minutes. So we don't know. We don't want to say things that we don't have total clarity on. But we can say, man, just watch. Just like Yahushua told us to do, watch and begin to watch, because you never know what's going on. I mean, it's a lot of things building up to which we have to watch out for. And so you're talking about this object is supposed to be very close and will pass closer than even our moon. So we have to watch out, because look all the things you got going on next week in November. You have the G20 summit talking about the world global government, the one world global government. You got the FEMA thing going on. You got the Pope rising up and doing what he's doing. So you got all these things going on. But we're going to move on, and we're going to get to a couple other sections. You're still listening to the Poetic Energy Network. I'm still the way. Okay, we back. We want to get into my section right here. This is the section I like right here. Are you ready?
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
All right, we back. Yo, okay, check this, man. This is the red or blue pill sex. You already know how it goes down. Hey, this is the red or blue pill right here. We got the two witnesses. We got the two witnesses. We got the red pill and the blue pill. We got the blue pill. You know, the blue pill, people say, oh, man, you know, man, the two witnesses don't really even exist. Or nobody knows who the two witnesses are. Or maybe it's Moses and Elijah. Or it's the New and Old Testament. Or it's both houses of Yisrael, Judah and, you know, Yehuda and Yisrael or Ephraim or, you know, all these things. They're not really actual people. It's like a spirit, and it just comes to the earth and it just renews everything, and you know, and all this other stuff. That's the blue pill. The blue pill is meant for confusion. You don't really understand the blue pill. It's like it's just is it this way? Is it left or right or back or forward? Which one is it? But we're talking about the red pill. That's the blue pill. It's really no argument. It's like no one knows, you know, it's just question marks, you know. But we want to get into it. Who are the two witnesses? Well, they're about to get revealed right now. You're talking about right here. You're talking about we're going to make the case right here for, number one, Eliyahu, Elijah. Let's get into the scriptures. If you got the scriptures, we're going to move pretty quick through them. We read 1 Kings 17 and 1. It says, now, Eliyahu, the Tishbite, from Tishba, it says, in Gilead, and from Ahab, it says, as Yahuwah, the Elohim of Yisrael, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain or so the next years except by my word. Okay, so we make, and then it says, look, when we go to Yaakov 5 and 17, it says, Eliyahu was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crops. Now, notice, even when you go to Revelation 11, it talks about that they will prophesy for how long? 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. Eliyahu prayed that there will be no rain in Yisrael for 3.5 years. And Elohim answered his prayer. Eliyahu will still have power when Elohim sends him back to earth to stand against the anti-Messiah and the false prophet. Check this right here. 1 Kings 18, 36 through 39. At that time of sacrifice, the prophet Eliyahu stepped forward and prayed. O Yahuwah, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. It says, let there be known today that you are the Elohim, and that I am your servant and have done all these things to your command. Answer me, O Yahuwah, answer me. So these people will know that you, O Yahuwah, are Elohim and that you have turned their hearts back again. And then fire of Yahuwah fell down and burned up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the soil and licked up the water in the trenches. And all the people saw and fell prostrate on their face. Yahuwah is Elohim. Yahuwah, he is Elohim. So, you know, we talk about this. Then I know you remember the instance where these people were trying to come against Eliyahu, and guess what he did? He said, and he called down fire on these people, and then the fire from heaven consumed the captain and his men. So we know in times that Yahuwah, Elohim, has given him power. Number one, to shut the heavens. Eliyahu had power to shut the heavens, and he had power to call fire from heaven. Look, Malachi 4:5-6 says, see, I am sending the prophet Eliyahu before the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Do you notice that? Do you see that? Now check this now. Check the records. Let's check the records. You look at right here. Hold on. We're going to get a question in a minute. Let's get this out of the way right here. And then we're gonna open it up to the questions, and we're going to get going. Look, right here you have 2 Kings 2, 1, and when Yahuwah was to take about Eliyahu up to heaven in a whirlwind, Eliyahu and Elijah were, were way of Gilead. And they were walking along together, and suddenly a chariot of fire and horses came up and took them away to heaven. Okay, so he's gone. So we don't want to get too much into it, but hey, now we know according to the records that, hey, Eliyahu and Hanak. I want to read some scriptures to you, and then we want to dive into the questions. Look, it says the apocalypse of Kepha. It says, verily I say unto you that when his twigs have sprouted forth in the last days, that false prophets arise and arise false hopes, saying, I am the Messiah, and now shall come into the world. But this is not the deceiver. This is not the Messiah. It says, and when they have rejected him with the sword, there will be many martyrs. And Hanak and Eliyahu shall be sent forth to teach this which is coming to the world to do signs and wonders in order to deceive. Now, these are some apocryphal texts. So, you know, they have nuggets in them. But, you know, you have to be very prayerful when you read them. You know, but this right here is the Besorah of Bartholomew. And it says, and Satan said, look carefully at who it is that is coming down, for it is Eliyahu or Hanak, it says, or one of the prophets men seem to be. But he answered him and said, there is not to be 6,000 years accomplished the sum of the hands. We know we look at the Besorah of Nicodemus, okay? It talks about, and then Yahuwah, after his resurrection, delivered the saints to Michael's archangel. It says, and he led them to paradise. And two very ancient men met them, and they were asked by the set apart ones, who are you? And who have not been with us in Sheol? And have I been placed in paradise? And one of them answered and said, I am Hanak. It says, who was translated by the word of Elohim, and this is the man with me, Eliyahu, the Tishbite. It says, who was translated in the fiery chariot. It says, here we have been, and we have not tasted death, but we now return at the coming of the anti-Messiah. So apparently, according to this, that they're in Shemaim waiting for the anti-Messiah to be revealed in order to come down and fight against him. So check this right here. So you have it gets even deeper. You have the apocalypse of Eliyahu. You have, it says, this is the anti-Messiah. It says, in those days the Lord will turn to the desert places, and he will say to the sun, fall, and it will fall. And he will say, shine, and it will shine. And it says, he will say, darken, and it will do it. And this is the apocalypse of Eliyahu right here I'm reading from. It says, and he will say to the moon, become bloody, and it will become bloody. He will send forth from the sky, and he will walk on the sea and the waters and upon dry land. He will cause the lame to walk, and he will cause the deaf to hear. He will cause the dumb to speak, and he will cause the blind to see, and lepers will be cleansed. And the ill will heal, and demons he will cast out. And he will multiply his signs and wonders in the presence of everyone. And he will do the works of the Messiah, what the Messiah did, except that alone. Okay? Now this one it says, but look. When Hanak and Eliyahu hear that the Samest One has been revealed in his Kadesh places, they will come down and fight against him, saying, are you indeed not ashamed? It says, you have been hostile to those who belong to heaven. Okay? That's another work right here. So they came with him for 3.5 years. So you're talking about these documents are old. You know, these documents right here. So don't let nobody tell you, oh, you know, these documents are dated from 100 to 300 A.D., referring to the belief of the two witnesses. The early believers knew that, hey, that Hanak and Eliyahu were the two witnesses. We know that it says, Deuteronomy 17:6, it says, the testimony of two or three witnesses, it says, one man shall be put to death, but on one shall he be put to death on the testimony of only two. So think about it. The anti-Messiah and the false prophet will be put to death. They will be put to death on the witnesses of Jesus. Because notice, The only reason they have to die, according to Revelation 11, which we're about to read right now, it says, now the two, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss, or which is basically Apollyon, the destroyer, you know what I'm saying, it says, will attack them. It says, and will overpower them and kill them, and their bodies will lay in the street of the great city, which is figuratively Sodom in Egypt. And there, where the master was cruel, was died. So we know the master, where did he die at? He died in, you know, he died on Golgotha. You know, he died in that land around Jerusalem. So we know that, hey, that's where they're going to be put to death at. It says for 3.5 days from every people, tribe, and nation will gaze upon their bodies and their burial, and the inhabitants of earth will gloat over them and celebrate, sending each other gifts, because these two prophets tormented the whole earth, it says, those who live on earth. Remember what it said about Elijah, that he can shut the heavens. He had power to shut the heavens. He had power to throw down fire. So he has power. So these people are being tormented. These lawless people are being tormented by these two prophets because the wonders they were doing. But they will hear a voice. The only reason they have to die is because they have not. We know that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom. So everybody has to die. That's why they have to die, is to put on their flesh, that spiritual flesh, you know, that so they will be able to spend, you know, eternity, you know, with us. But they are currently, according to this, that they are in Shemaim. They are waiting for the son of perdition to be revealed in it, because we know the son of perdition, when the third temple is built, he will proclaim himself to be El. And when they hear that, they will come down to fight against him for 3.5 and bear a testimony for 3.5 years. They are the two witnesses. It says, and they will return. So we know that. So when the anti-Messiah is revealed, these two witnesses are coming, and they will bear witness, and they will turn the people and the hearts of the children back to the Father. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's going on. That's two witnesses. And so, yeah, you still listen to the Poetic Energy Network. I'm your host, Saad, and this is Still the Way. Yo, we had a call earlier, but guess we're just going to keep moving. We got a couple minutes, you know what I'm saying? We're going to keep it moving. But if you got scriptures with you, we're going to dive right into it real quick. We want to talk about the name of the Father. We were talking about this last week. I mean, not last week, but we want to read a couple of verses. If you can go to Malachi. We want to read this real quick. We want to highlight a couple of verses. Because we were talking about these priests that are out there, these priests that say they are priests, but they are not. These priests who say they are priests and say they honor the name of Yahuwah. And because you had different things. Me and my wife were actually talking about this. You have people out there talking about, hey, you know, the name too scarred to say. You can't say the name because it's too scarred to say. And so, you know, where did it all come from? That was a trap of the enemy, because Yahusha said, if you will be ashamed of me in front of men, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father in heaven. You know what I'm saying? So if you ashamed to say the name, that's all it is. That's all it is laziness and being ashamed, because they don't want to say the name. Oh, it's too scarred to say. Man, show me the chapter and verse in which Yahuwah said, do not say my name. In fact, when we go to Malachi, two and two, do you actually know, when you go back and read Deuteronomy, you read the Torah, that he said, if you do not honor my great and awesome and esteemed name, that he would send a curse upon us? Do you understand that it is a curse not to proclaim the name of Yahuwah? That'll make you flip your wig back and change your thoughts. Like, hey, maybe I should say his name. Right here, Malachi 2:2, he says, if you do not fear, or if you do not take to heart to give esteem to my name. That's the name of Yahuwah. Said Yahuwah of hosts, I shall send a curse upon you, and I shall curse them. Indeed, I have cursed them already, because you do not take heed of it. So right there, he says, hey, if you, just like the Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, who say, hey, we can't say the name, or you have these Hebrews out here that say, hey, we can't say the name, it's too scarred to say, you know, when you do that, when you do not honor his name, he sent a curse upon them. You know what I'm saying? He sent a curse upon them, the curse upon their blessings. This is what he said. Malachi 1:6, he said, a son esteems his father and a servant his master. And if I am your father, where is my esteem? And if I am your master, where is my fear? Said Yahuwah of hosts, to despise my name. But you ask, in what way have we despised your name? So his name is going to be great. So we're going to talk about that real quick. His name is going to be great among the nations. And there is no way you should despise his name. You should proclaim his name. Just like we talked about last week, about just having the excitement about proclaiming his name to people. And it's just amazing to see when you talk to people and you see their eyes light up and you tell them about the truth and you tell them about the name of Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? You still listen to the Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwah Side, and this is still the way. So we wanted to do a little something different. You know what I'm saying? We want to do a little something different. We wanted to open it up, and we want to have a little poetry section. We're gonna do this every now and then. We're gonna have a little poetry section. You know what I'm saying? Which we gonna come up, and we gonna have a little artist coming on and. Or, you know, we're going to do a little something. But I had a little work I want to show and share with you. It's called Exodus Again. And, you know, the concept behind it is, you know, that we exited Egypt or Mizraim the first time. But remember now, he said, I'm going to do something greater than Mizraim. So we're not even going to think about it. It's going to be greater. And the reason why it's greater, because we're so scattered across the whole earth, he has to deliver us from every tribe, tongues, and nations, different sections of the world. So I want to get into this, Exodus Again. Up at the mountaintop, topped off by a distant fog. This is the first pin log from across the Jordan, a Hebrew sort of mentality. The finality is in my heart prays for. To Yahushua Almighty, body deception plagues the world with AIDS, while people are so healthy to believe they're sick. But it says, but now I'm admitting everything that I believe was a fabricated mystery painted by the drunken Harriet, sleeping with the enemy, claiming she's a friend of me, unprotected intellectual intercourse. I guess that's why many perish. While transmitting lies to one another. For the course is change, which was directed for destruction. In the construction of this 21st century Tower of Babel, leads false prophets to Babel, to the unsuspected. Unsuspecting doom is predicted, scattering throughout the news, programmed to believe a lie. Engulfed by the beast who unleashed a systematic religiosity. It says, while believing that there is reciprocity for doing and defending evil. Only pay is judgment day. No wonder the prophets of old struggled with evil over good. It says, at least for now, until the trumpet sounds. But now I'm covered with shame, hoping that it will rain blessings, learning life lessons, looking to lateral. But nobody's in the game. Yahusha, I've heard of your fame, but your voice has been silent. While the violent prosper and stare in triumph at the mountaintop, topped off by a distant fog, bogged down with what lies ahead. The world's been fed poisonous water in the desert, sleeping with the mirage. It says that even a wise man couldn't dodge. Massaged away by evil, wine, while the night swiftly creeps. Light flees like brown leaves shifting by approaching winds. It says if all religions in the world is drunk, what is the end? Up at the mountaintop, topped off by a distant fog. Exodus again, but it's not Moshe again. Exodus again, but it's not Moshe again. Yo, that's called Exodus again. So, words up, all these poets out there, all you got some works out there, you want to come, hey, we'll get you on the show. We'll get you live on the show on the Poetic Energy Network station. Hey, and you go live on it and say your little piece and say your piece of work, man, and just, you know, whatever Yahuwah puts on your heart to write or whatever, you know, we have a little forum for it. So we want to get that started. But, yeah, you still listen to Poetic Energy Network. Man, we about to sign off, man, but it's been a pleasure, man. If you missed the show earlier, you got to go back. We're talking about, man, it is going down. It is going down. We have come upon what the scriptures have said, that things are, the dominoes are set. You know, it's just waiting for somebody to flick them. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, you be easy. I hope you have a blessed Shabbat. And you just get some rest and relaxation in, you know. But this is Yahuwah's side. This is on the way. And I hope Yahuwah bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network. Stations.